This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. For generations, the American dream has fueled dreams, aspirations, accomplishments. Work hard and build a better life. Get ahead and watch your children climb even further up the ladder of success. So a recent NBC News online poll caught our eye. It found a majority of us, 57%, believe the American dream is dead. Let's get into what's behind this and what it means for the way we're planning, spending, and working. Michigan State University economist Charles Ballard is back with us. Always good to have you with us.
Glad to be with you. Thank you.
We've seen employment numbers going up. We've got the stock market basically growing. The Great Recession is a few years behind us. Are you surprised so many of us are pessimistic about the American dream?
Well, I'm a little surprised, but not completely, because even though the economy has been growing, wages for most workers have barely been keeping up with inflation. And that isn't just in the last few years. This is a very, very long-term thing. In fact, the average guy who's working full-time year-round is earning less now, if we adjust for inflation, than in 1973. So that's a very long period where a substantial fraction of the population has gone nowhere. And, you know, in my view, it's the biggest story of our lifetime is the increase in income inequality, which you and I have talked about before.
Yes.
Basically, the American dream is still very much alive and well for some. It's alive and well for those at the top. I don't think the American dream is dead. And it is still true that if you work hard, that's better than not working hard. But the income mobility, your ability to move from the bottom to the top, is pretty small. Most people who are born in the lower part of the income distribution do not become rich. And we've had this long-term increase in income inequality, with most of the gains of the last 40 years going to those pretty close to the top.
That 1%, more or less, that we've talked about. So people are feeling like they're working, but they're spinning their wheels.
I think in a lot of cases, I do believe that it's likely that if we continue to have another couple of years of economic growth, you know, that might change some people's minds. But I think what people are referring to really here is a long-term phenomenon and not just the ups and downs of the business cycle.
And what also struck me with this survey is that the gloom is pretty much spread across both parties. I mean, they did find Republicans are a little more inclined to say the American dream still holds, and Dems are a little more inclined to say it never existed. But there are plenty on both sides who think it's dead. Why do you think this is with both sides?
Well, probably the reasons why people in different parts of the political spectrum think it's dead, probably those are different reasons. One of the things I found most interesting in this survey was that only 5% of the Republicans said that they thought that the inequality was a big problem. A much higher percentage of independents and Democrats thought it was a big problem. I think some of the Democrats who are saying that the American dream is dead or at least on life support, they're looking at the fact that their family hasn't gotten ahead. I think since the Republicans tend to be a higher income group, it's possible that they're just saying, well, I'm doing okay, but I'd like to do better. At least that's my speculation of what might explain some of these differences and similarities.
And then looking ahead to the next generation, when you see that only 12% of American voters believe our children will be better off financially than we are, and 59% think our kids are going to be worse off.
I got to tell you, that's dismaying to read that. But if that's the way that people feel, that's the reality with which we have to deal. I would mention one thing. You should take this survey just like you should take every other survey with at least a couple of grains of salt. This particular one was only online.
You're right.
So that's taking only a portion of the population. Not everybody spends all their time online, although the younger generation seems to. But the researchers did a decent job of trying to correct for that by making some statistical adjustments. But still, we should be at least a little skeptical. Nevertheless, it's hard for me to believe that the survey design could explain the huge difference that you talked about, with only a very small minority thinking that their kids would be better off. And if that's the way that people feel, I think that should be a very big concern for elected officials, but also for all of the rest of us. Because if people are discontented and disaffected, then that could show up in all sorts of antisocial behaviors
such
if we're
as,
not careful.
What do you think?
Well, you know, if people really think that there's no way that working hard will get them ahead, maybe they'll stop working hard. And my sense is that working hard will do better for you than not working hard. But if you say, well, what's the use, and throw up your hands, that could lead to lots of problems.
And what do you think the takeaway should be for policymakers and also this pack of presidential hopefuls?
Well, my guess is that the presidential hopefuls will take very different messages from this, but I'll give you my message.
Yes.
You know, you look at what happened in the 30s and 40s. The American dream was very much alive. People made phenomenal increases in their standard of living in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and that's across the board. That's rich, poor, and middle class. So that reality came from government policies. A lot of spending on education, progressive taxes, minimum wage law, the list goes on and on. Financial regulation is a big one. We reversed most of those policies in the 70s and 80s, and we've seen the results. If it were up to me, I'd go back to some of the policies that worked to produce broad-based prosperity half a century ago.
Well, you think of the depths of the Great Recession. Of course, we know that much of that, the lifting in the 40s, came from war production.
That's right. But then even after the 40s, that was a time of phenomenal improvement in the educational attainment of the population. Huge increases in high school attainment, and also then the GI Bill led to a big increase in college attainment. As you know, and one of the things that you and I have talked about is the state support for higher education has just been slashed, and that means that since today's American dream really involves a college education in most cases,
That
dream is being made much more expensive for a lot of middle and lower income families, and I think that's a mistake.
Michigan State University economics professor Charles Ballard, always great to get your insights. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.